Thank you very much, Matt. And let me say that I think I come to this podium today from a fairly unique position, having spent a lot of years working in food and agriculture, running a food trade association and U.S. Department of Agriculture, and also have a farm in Illinois. My son runs a farm. We raise 5,000 acres of corn and 10,000 head of pigs. So we've got hogs and corn both, so we're part of this whole equation, and we live it every day. So that's my perspective. Now, the first point I would make is, yes, biofuels have had some impact on the price of food. And I think we can't deny that. But it's pretty small. It's pretty small. It's hard to figure out exactly what it is, 10%, 15% of the total change in the price of food. But there are other factors. This is a very complicated issue. And if you just look at the world, the price of food is up, and you pick up the paper, and every day there's a story about hungry people, and food's expensive in a lot of countries. Well, a lot of countries they're spending about 50% of their household income on food, whereas we're fortunate here. We spend about less than 10%. So you look at the world and what's going on over there, and the demand for food is escalating. China and India and other countries are developing, and they want animal protein. They're not satisfied just eating rice or wheat. So that's a big demand right there. I dare say we would not even be standing up here now if the price of oil was $20 a barrel, but it's not. It's $120, and it's likely to stay up in that range or come down some or go up. I don't know. But it's going to stay high, and it puts us into a position we had not been in before, and we're trying to find the future from this point of view. The next point I would make is the weather problems around the world. You read about all of them, the drought in Australia and other countries. These are big, important considerations. And the next point I make is a speculation. The stock market goes down, so money flows into commodities. Commodities go up. Are they higher than they're really worth? I don't know. But certainly there's a lot of money been poured into commodities. And the next point I would make is the weakness of the dollar. And I was looking at the Wall Street Journal just this week, and you could see on a graph that they had there that the dollar's relationship to the euro. If the dollar was as strong as the euro, we could buy oil as cheap as they could buy it with a euro. With a euro, they buy oil for $70 a barrel. Or 70 euros a barrel, but we're spending $120 a barrel. The point is that the dollar situation has impacted things too. And now we have countries in other parts of the world that had not before, but they're starting to restrict the sale of commodities that they think are important. Whether it's rice or wheat, they're restricting those sales, and that disrupts the flow of product around the world. There's a whole bunch of things happening out there, and they're a lot more complicated and making a lot more difference in biofuels. So I guess I would say it's unreasonable to blame biofuels for a big part of this. I would say that especially internationally, because we are not shorting the market on grain. We are exporting more grain than we ever have in history. $100 billion worth of product, U.S. farm products, going overseas, a record. And if we're sending it all over there, you know, there's something else at play here that's caused the food prices to go up in these other countries. There is a positive side to this. And the positive side is that higher prices equal investment in the industry, and that equals more food. And I will assure you, it won't happen overnight, but in a year or two or three, whatever, over time, with good prices for farm products, the world is going to produce more farm products. And I would just mention an article that was in the Post day before yesterday, I think. Anyway, part of it was about Mauritania, poor country in Africa. And 15 years ago, they were going to They were going to use irrigation on a large chunk of land in the southern part of the country. And with the irrigation, they'd raise more food. Well, it all fell through over those 15 years. It didn't work. Now they're going to do it. And countries will be doing that all over the world, things like that to increase food production. Genetic engineering, that is going to be accepted in places where it wouldn't have been accepted before, because there's becoming a realization that, you know, we need to use the technology at hand, whether it's biotechnology, hybrid seed corn, or irrigation in places. These are all positive things to deal with the challenges that we face today. We depend, I believe that given the situation, that biofuels have a place, an important place at this point in time, and right now we're talking about corn and other products to make biofuels, but it's not too long off. 2, 3, 4, 5 years, we'll be using cellulosic material to make biofuels. All of this is homegrown. It makes jobs for us right here in the United States, and it's a clean fuel. Those are good, positive things. So that's only a part of our effort to deal with the energy challenges that we face today, but an important part of it. And that's not to deny that we should not look to wind and sun and coal. I don't care. We need to look about everything we can find to deal with this problem of trying to get the energy that we need and the world needs today. And that concludes my remarks. I just want you to say, understand that my remarks or my position as a farmer and as someone that's dealt with agriculture all my life, I'm not owned by anybody, and I'm not up here representing anybody. I'm representing Block Farms and John Block. Thank you.